Hello, and welcome to InsideCollegeHockey.com podcast, recorded March 19th, 2008. My name is Joe Bladaszewski, podcast host and editor, also a senior writer covering ECAC hockey. Joined today by a distinguished panel of co-editors Mike Eidelbus and Nate Ewell, as well as Hockey East senior writer Jeff Howe. Jeff, we're going to start with some conversation about this weekend's Hockey East Championships at the TD Bank North Garden in Boston, the second worst arena in the state of Massachusetts.
Behind
his regional destination in Worcester in 2 weeks. We've got a favored UNH team and three other teams that have some intriguing storylines. How do you see things shaking out right now?
Well, I know it's going to be really cold in the arena, first of all, but it's really going to be an awesome weekend of hockey. I'm really looking forward to it. You definitely got the four best teams playing this weekend, and it starts with the very first game with UNH and BC. UNH is clearly the favorite going into this thing, and if they end up winning it, and you're going to see the possibility because UVM, BC, and BU are all so much in the bubble of the NCAA tournament. If UNH goes and takes the automatic bid, then you're looking at, you know, kind of a far-off possibility, but still the chance of only one Hockey East team getting into the tournament. So you're going to see a great, great first game between UNH and BC. BC has to get Nate Gerby involved. As I wrote last week, Gerby currently has 52 points this season. Only three of those points are in the BC's 11 losses. Gerby has a combined 3 points. He struggled a lot going down the stretch. Only had about 4 or 5 points during the team's winless skid. And, you know, he got back at it last week against Providence, 3 goals and an assist. So he's got to get on the board early for BC. He's got to really be a game changer for them to have any chance. He's got to be able to attack Reig and get BC those fast forwards out flying and really try to get UNH on its heels. Other than that, I really don't see much of a chance. Muse, I don't think, is playing well enough in net to really be able to stop the UNH attack. He's going to really have to stick his head. And those UNH forwards are going to be smart enough to pick him glove side where he's had a lot of trouble. So I look for UNH to win that first game. The second game should be BU's. BU's playing well. So is Vermont. But, you know, BU is flying all over the place, scoring a ton of goals. And as long as they show up, they should be able to take it to Vermont. It could end up being a pretty boring game if Vermont builds an early lead and is able to sit on the puck. But I look at UNH and BU to win the first two games that night.
Can you
dispel
the notion that the early semi is the championship game?
I would definitely dispel that. I would not say that's a championship game just because of the way BU's playing right now. Parker isn't going to make the mistake of putting out Gillespie. I know he was confident with the way Gillespie was playing down the stretch after he came back from injury, but, you know, he just didn't have it in game two against Lowell. So he's going to have Brett Bennett playing both games. I would imagine. Bennett's playing really well down the stretch here. So I could see him stealing that championship game because of BU's offense. It's the best offense in the league. They're scoring, you know, 4 or 5 goals a game consistently. They have four really, really good lines. You know, Parker was saying that his fourth line may have been his best line last week. So I think BU could match up very, very well with UNH. I don't see them beating UNH, but, you know, I could definitely see them taking that game.
I think that's, BU's an interesting team, and you know, as good as Vermont's been over the past, you know, at least the second half of the season, they just don't score a lot of goals, and I can't see them finding a way to either slow down BU or, if they, you know, failing to do that, keeping up with their scoring. I'm just kind of wondering how the neutral Hockey East fan, who doesn't have any stake in this weekend's tournament, looks at this upcoming weekend. Are they pulling for one of those UVM BUs to make this to win the championship and get a third team into the NCAA tournament?
Well, I don't. I mean, from the Hockey East fans that I've talked to, they're really pumped about this weekend. It's definitely going to be. You got three of the big four teams are going to be down there, with the exception of Maine missing the playoffs completely. So, the casual Hockey East fan has. It's not like they're going to watch, you know, Northeastern, Lowell, and UMass or anything this weekend. I mean, these are the best four teams in Hockey East. Vermont plays a slower game. You're right about the offense. I think they had something like 30 to 40 less goals combined over the course of the season than the other three teams. You know, that's more than a goal a game. So the only way Vermont's going to be able to win this thing is scoring early and sitting on the puck and, you know, icing it about 40 to 60 times, which is completely possible for them. I don't know who the casual Hockey East fan is rooting for, just because, you know, I think the primary fan bases are represented this weekend.
It strikes me that this BU team is more interesting than or intriguing than the Terriers have been in years. And even, you know, going back 6 months, they're a lot more intriguing now than they were then.
That's a pretty incredible thing to say when you think about the team a couple years ago that won about a million games in a row, and the team that had, you know, I guess it was a couple years ago and even last year with John Curry, who was a great story. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things about the BU team and a lot of really good forwards on that team, no question.
Yeah, I think the style they play is more entertaining, but I also think there's a little bit more of an unknown, and you know, you kind of knew what you were going to get from John Curry, and this team, it's a little bit, especially with the way they've come on lately, it's a little bit more of unpredictability, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, definitely a net, because, you know, this is going to be Bennett's first trip to the Garden. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong there. I mean, he'll be playing his first games in the Hockey semifinals and possibly finals at the Garden anyway. I mean, you might not know what you're going to get out of him, but he's been pretty solid. You're going to get a good effort out of Bennett this weekend. I would be surprised if, you know, he flopped, especially against somebody like Vermont. Not to take anything away from Vermont, but, you know, they just don't have the ability to pour on goals all the time. But they've got the freshman, BU does. Bonino has really come on strong. Wilson was the guy who really, really had it going in February when BU started to turn it around. Then it was Bonino, and, you know, you've had Ewing and MacArthur who have been going at it all season. So you've got a ton of tremendous forwards there who can score. The defense had a lot of trouble earlier this season. MacArthur was saying the other day that they switched defensive philosophies in order to be able to score more, and they were a little mixed up there. They didn't have the right mentality. They didn't know what they were doing all the time. So since they've gotten back to basics, they've been much better on the defensive side of things.
Let's change things up a little bit and go to two teams that won't be playing this weekend. And those were pretty highly seeded and favored teams in ECAC hockey and the CCHA, those being Clarkson and Michigan State, who were both eliminated on home ice in their playoff series. Last weekend, Clarkson in three games was the top-seeded team in ECAC hockey, losing to Colgate, and Michigan State as the third-seeded team, or were they fourth?
They were the three.
They were the three. Notre Dame was four. Michigan State at three, losing to Northern Michigan in a three-game series at Munn Ice Arena. Both of those teams look like they're in pretty solid shape to make the NCAA tournament. What do you think a coaching staff does to keep their team focused, motivated, and hungry to play again next weekend if they get good news on Sunday?
I think that just sitting at home watching watching the other teams play in the conference tournaments is motivation enough. And, you know, the thing that you kind of have to remember about Michigan State is, you know, they didn't win the CCHA postseason championship last year. They weren't a high seed. They were a three seed. I think that, you know, this with the Spartans having gone through what they went through last year, you know, they're not going to panic. I think they're going to recognize that Maybe they need to ratchet up the intensity a little bit, but you know, they're experienced, and they've been through this obviously last year, and I think that last weekend sends a message. But at the same time, I mean, Northern Michigan beat them twice up in Marquette in February. So, and then you know, in the last two games of that series this past weekend, they ran into a hot goalie. Brian Stewart was really, really good, and he made 40+ saves both nights. So, I think Michigan State will be fine. I guess you'd have the answer on Clarkson whether they'll be fine or not. I would assume that they would.
Well, you know, I think
but
maybe...
they've got a little more to prove, I think, than obviously Michigan State does.
Well, yeah, and it's been an awfully long time since Clarkson's won an NCAA game. I think 96 was the last against Colorado College. But they looked tight to me. I was able to see both of those losses on Saturday and Sunday to Colgate. And they just didn't have it. And it's a team, I think, that's played a little tight all season. Maybe this is what they needed, you know, to take some of the pressure off. I mean, you go into it. If they had won that game, you know, sure, it feels good to go back to Albany and defend a championship that they won last year, but... they're going to go in as a low seed. There's not going to be much pressure, and you know, depending on the matchup, they could maybe play well against one of those teams. I mean, they went into a tournament last year where their talent probably wasn't as good as their seeding was. You know, they drew a top seed, I think, and played UMass, and it just wasn't. I don't think that shoe fit real well for that Clarkson team. So. Maybe this year, as a lower-seeded team, they'll play a little looser and play better.
I think the challenge from a coaching standpoint is keeping the intensity up on the ice. And I mean, for those teams where you haven't played in 2 weeks and you got to hop on the ice in an NCAA tournament game match that intensity of a team that's played in a conference championship the week before.
Yeah.
And that's a really tough challenge for the Atlantic Hockey and CHA teams as well.
Yeah, congratulations to Air Force and Niagara, the winners of Atlantic Hockey and College Hockey America, who are awaiting news on Sunday of where they will be placed in the NCAA tournament field. Two very good teams. I mean, I know it's taken a while for some people to shed the stereotypes of the mid-majors and the quote-unquote easy draw in those opening games, but we've seen in the last 3 to 4 years that that's not the case anymore, and they've both got quality wins this season against good teams, so it's not as easy in a draw as many people still like to believe.
No, and then you go to the other end of the spectrum from teams that are going to have a lot of rest to Minnesota, who's got to come back after playing about 5 complete games last weekend, and they got to play tomorrow night, or I guess Thursday night. Yeah, tomorrow night against St. Cloud. And I was kind of thinking about this actually yesterday, writing the 4x4. Right now Minnesota's in, and I don't think a loss to St. Cloud hurts them that much. You know, I'm wondering if, from a Gopher perspective, if the Gophers are better off losing and taking a rest. I mean, they got to be gassed still. And they're shorthanded too. I mean, they've had some injuries and obviously some defections that have shortened the bench for them. I'm interested to see how much they have in the tank tomorrow. And obviously they'll have a lot of adrenaline early, but about midway through the second period and as they get into the third period, I'll be very interested to see how much they have left, because that was a pretty brutal series last weekend, and really both teams, Mankato and Minnesota, were starting to look pretty ragged by the time the overtimes rolled by on Sunday night.
It doesn't always make for the best hockey, but I enjoy watching it. You know, just the struggle, the guts and the determination that all the players have to throw out there every shift, every time they come over the boards.
Like that Wisconsin game a couple of years ago in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, against Cornell.
It was nothing like that.
What was there?
That was like capturing a yawn in a jar. That this series, I mean, this, and I watched of all the games that were on this past weekend, I watched more of the Minnesota series, just because it was so compelling. And I mean,
because
both
of your Eastern bias.
My Eastern bias, exactly. I mean, both goalies were outstanding. It was just a really entertaining series. The goalies, just when you think that these teams couldn't do something to top it, you know, they did the next night. It was just, I mean, starting with the first game where, you know, Mankato gets a penalty for too many men on the ice. The AR was basically at the red line, standing by the benches, who called it. Well, the puck was on the opposite side of the ice in Mankato's end, or behind the gopher goalie. I mean, literally, we're talking 120 feet away. And he calls a too many men penalty in second overtime. You know, was it the right call? Yeah, probably. Was it a call that you make in the second overtime of a playoff game? I don't know. But, you know, Mankato comes back, scores a shorthanded goal on a beautiful play to win it in the second overtime. And then, you know, it just built from there. I mean, it was a terrific series.
Did Vesa Toskola think that puck was out of scoring range? Check Maple Leafs highlights from Tuesday if you don't get that joke.
Other than that, though, everything's gone well for the Leafs this year.
Yeah.
All pucks are in scoring
range.
Not a problem
free season in the hockey world.
All pucks are in scoring range when you're playing the Leafs.
That's true. That is true. Let's get stay on Minnesota a little bit in northern Michigan, since we've talked about them. Every week we get different thoughts and comments from our readers, which we do appreciate. But we'll take this forum to answer some of those questions. And a lot of what we heard on Monday was, how can we not have northern Michigan ranked because of their success in the playoffs and advancing to Detroit for the CCHA championship weekend?
Yeah, every time there's bad news, I have to always drop the hammer.
I'll do the Minnesota one if you do.
It is a good point. You look at Northern Michigan, and we started to kind of notice them. I think, you know, first they tied Michigan a couple times, and then they went and swept Michigan State, and they, you know, that really jump started them and got them going in the second half. But I mean, you have to remember that. You know, are they a top 20 team? Well,
they're sixth in their league.
Well, yeah, let's remember that they just got the 500 this week by beating Michigan State twice. It's the first time they've been 500 since they were 1-1. And I mean, this is a team that got swept at home by Wayne State, and they weren't close games. I think they were 4-1 and 5-1 or something like that. So, you know, as good as Northern Michigan has been recently, I mean, there was a point in time where they were really, really not good. And you can't just, you know, you can't push that aside. I mean, you know, there's a reason they're 19-19 and whatever else they are. I will say that they're a young team. There's not a lot of seniors in that lineup. And, you know, I think that if somehow they can develop some consistency, you know, I'm looking more into next year than to the rest of this season, they're going to be a tough team. But, you know, while Kyle's teams haven't really had that consistency, but if they can find a way to, you know, to put together a few games in a row instead of winning two, losing three, winning three, losing one, you know, and just kind of staying on the treadmill, and you know, your legs are moving, but you're not, you know, you're looking at the same scenery. If they can get over that, they'll be pretty tough. They've got a chance to be a very good team next year.
Yeah, those Wayne State scores were January 11th and 12th. That was a 4-1 loss and a 3-2 overtime loss.
Oh, I was close.
Yeah, well,
I got one right.
Yeah, you're batting 500, just like Northern Michigan is.
Just like.
Let's get to Minnesota. Same thing. All year we don't hear from Minnesota. Then they win one series, against a team that we thought they would beat, plus you and I did.
Yeah.
And projected it such in the inch 4x4 last week. And then, of course, the fire and brimstone comes down about how, oh, we have no respect for the Gophers. And we had a lot more respect for them, I think, for most of this year than a lot of people did. We kept giving them kind of the benefit of the doubt, and we looked at them every single week when we were trying to do the power rankings and trying to find a spot for them, and we tried to make a case for them, and we couldn't. I mean, the bottom line is that I think 3 wins in their last maybe 10 WCHA games to close the regular season. You know, they hadn't won more than 2 in a row since the beginning of the year when they played Ohio State and hosted the Icebreaker. You know, it just, I guess it was the Minnesota State Series in November.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just they couldn't get anything going. And just when they try to make a turn, you know, you get a couple wins over Wayne State, you know, but those are bounced back after you get a loss and tie in your Holiday Classic against RIT and Air Force. So, you know, you just, we were trying to find it. We couldn't find it. So this week we put them in. Those are quality wins at Minnesota State. And, you know, we got them in the power rankings. And then people say we have them too low. Well, we put them there for a reason, because that's what they deserved.
This is one thing that struck me by watching that series, and I think I actually mentioned it to Jess Myers on Sunday night, is that Minnesota impressed me for how average they are. I mean, they're a really average team by Minnesota standards, let's say. But just how much they get out of what they've got. I mean, they're running at about 100% right now, I think.
Yeah, that's
I mean, they really can't. I mean, they don't have the, you know, other than Wheeler, they don't really have the finishers. Carmen's a good player. I like Mike Carmen, too. They've got guys who, you know, aren't quite ready. Barabal scored a goal, I think, on I think it was Sunday night he scored, and, you know, he had 26 last year, and he's got 6 this year. So, you know, they're not getting – there's some guys that, you know, Barabal, most notably, hasn't produced like he did last year. But, you know, one thing that they – you know, that's been a significant improvement for them is Kangas in goal. He's been very, very good. And, he might be the best – the best Gopher goalie since, you know, who knows, Rob Stauber. I mean, he's good. Better than Briggs.
Does it sound a little bit like those Maine teams that always ended up in the Frozen Four for the last 5 or 6 years? Hitting the most out of what they got? I don't know.
Is that that's not what I would have expected to hear.
What's that?
Maybe it does fit, but you just wouldn't expect it to go for teams with all the talent that they typically bring in compared to those gritty Maine teams with the 21-year-old freshman.
Yeah, but I see some comparisons there.
Yeah?
Just in how they're doing it, maybe not what they're doing it with. But yeah, and, you know, how many millions of dollars of contracts have they lost to the National Hockey League? I mean, yeah. Power play unit and a half, you know, guys who would still have college eligibility.
Yeah.
Or in the show.
Yeah, so. Between that and injuries, I mean, they've, you know, the Stoa's out and, you know, Okposo's gone and, you know, he played, was Tuesday night his debut?
Yep.
Eric Johnson, obviously. Phil Kessel.
Did you see his numbers in the American League, his stint there since World Juniors?
No.
They're real good.
Yeah, I figured they were.
I'll find it real quick, but it was better than a point per game at one point that I saw.
I think he ended up a little below that, but
yeah,
he started the reviews out from right Tuesday were pretty good. I mean, he played 15 minutes, I think, and people seemed happy on the island.
Well, there you go. Yeah, they his first shift over the boards, everybody in the building stood up and gave him a standing ovation. So they know, they understand that he is a 7th overall draft pick and makes Poso had 24 points in 29 games.
That's pretty
not
good.
Too shabby.
Not too shabby coming out of a... Coming out of...
He developed okay, I guess.
Yeah, apparently, apparently they were doing something good there at Minnesota.
And, you know, for all the chatter we get about, you know, we hate to see the guys leave college hockey and the pros are rating our games, you know, there's also part, you've got to realize that that's the right thing to do for these kids and for these organizations. You know, Kyle Postel can help the Islanders. That's why he's playing there. Eric Johnson can help the St. Louis Blues. That's why he's playing there. Even a player like David Jones at Dartmouth who leaves. You say, oh, I don't know, is he ready, whatever. He's played a dozen games in the show this year.
Those are two. Those are really different circumstances, though, Vladdy.
Yeah, I understand that.
Does a guy leaving mid-season help a program? What's he helping the Islanders do right now?
Well, play out the string.
Steve Stamkos? I mean...
Yeah, well... That's a good point.
Get Colin Wilson.
But there's some knowledge base, though. They know what they're going to... They get to look and see what they have.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't
I can
know,
see that.
You know, I think that, you know, evaluating your next step involves a thorough understanding of what you have right now. So,
well, looking at it from the other side, from the college program standpoint, if the kid's heart's not in being in school and playing college hockey, then, you know, is he better off someplace else?
Oh, yeah.
So.
By the way...
signed in August.
Well, yeah. There's that. Yeah. There's that. But you don't know what the kid was thinking. You don't know what Islanders management was thinking.
Anybody see a first semester?
Has anybody known what they've been thinking in the last 20 years?
No. I know that, you know, Charles, anybody see what? I'm sorry?
Anybody see a first semester transcript for Kyle Poso?
Well, no.
Okay.
There's that.
You don't know. You don't know.
There's that.
So, by the way, speaking of American Hockey League, leading rookie scorer is Teddy Purcell, Manchester Monarchs, formerly Maine Black Bears. Second leading rookie scorer is Brian Boyle, former Boston College Eagles, also Manchester Monarchs.
So what happens when those guys get to L.A.?
How's John Quick doing for the Monarchs?
I do not know. Let's take a look at top
You don't have
goals.
That at your fingertips.
He's not one of the leading scorers.
He's not in the scoring charts, Roka.
But he did score for UMass last year, so we know he can do it.
I had a good time looking up and down the line charts of Colgate and Clarkson trying to find guys who were tied in scoring with Kyle Richter of Harvard. Who had a goal earlier this season.
That's great. Right. Well, and I guess kind of tying in with Okposo and, you know, we did have, you know, a couple other guys sign here recently. And Ben Bishop signed, Eckford signed from Alaska. He signed with the Devils because they need more defensemen. And who's the other guy? Teslak from Michigan Tech, who announced on his MySpace page, or was it Facebook? About 6 weeks ago that he wanted to sign at the end of the season.
This is my last weekend.
This is my last winter carnival, so I'm going to enjoy it. He signed with the Flyers. And I think it goes hand in hand with the selection show coming up on Saturday is Turris, Kyle Turris, the next guy to go.
Yep.
And the rumblings are that, yeah, that's, you know, when they're talking about it on Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday, then it's pretty terrible, one of the worst kept secrets on the continent that he's going to go.
Right. John Quick, 12 games, 5-7, 0-1. That's more than 12 games. 2.57 goals against, .910 save percentage.
So that's not too shabby.
No, Manchester has a plethora of goalies this year. Eric Erzberg has 30 games. Daniel Taylor has 21 games. Hockey legend Dan Cloutier has 14 games. And a 3.5 goals against average and an 86.9%.
Did you see him go after Jody Shelley on the bench the other night?
No, I did not.
He felt he was interfered with on a play, and so during a TV timeout, he starts skating back to his bench, and he goes up to Jody Shelley, who's a pretty tough guy.
Like, the toughest guy.
Yeah. He quickly steered clear. But.
Typical Clutes. Typical Clutes. Okay, let's get away from Dan Cloutier before I start to say things I shouldn't. Hobie, top 10, bust. We wrote up a little track letter, as we like to call it, for this week and projected our 10 Hobie finalists. Those will officially be announced on Thursday evening, 6 p.m. Eastern or 6:30 Eastern. And that news will break. Be sure to check out Inside College Hockey for those. And we didn't really have too much trouble getting through the top seven that we thought. But those bottom three, maybe the big snub on that list would have to be, I guess Pete MacArthur was kind of the next guy out that we had, right?
Yeah, I think he was. And I guess, you know, the other, I don't think he's a question mark, and I assume he'll be among the top 10, but, you know, Gerby's always going to generate discussion of whether he should be in there or not. I guess it depends on your interpretation of what the Hobie Baker Award is, but, MacArthur was on the borderline there, and I think, you know, we got to a point, too, where we were debating, with Colorado College, should Chad Rau be in there? Should Bachman be in there?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we already had a fair number of goalies, obviously, on our list. And Bachman being a freshman, I think that, you know, not that he doesn't deserve to be on that list, but you know, I think that that we gave Rau the edge. And plus, he's got 27 goals. I mean, that's pretty good. So
I think, too, projecting the 10 finalists is different than projecting the top 10.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was the next point I was going to make.
Well, yeah.
Because you know you're going to have an ECAC candidate in there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it came down to. Yeah.
And that's a mighty tiger.
Yes, he is. Very mighty. Lee Jubenville. I discovered him.
Well done.
What are you, Simon Cowell?
Guy owes you.
Yeah. Inch A to Z, profile 2 years ago, last year, ECAC Hockey Breakthrough Player, this year, Player of the Year.
Nice. There you go.
It's been on. He's trending upward, Lee Jubenville. I'll be interested to see the Tigers this weekend.
What do you expect from them this weekend, Glenn?
I expect that they'll beat Colgate. I'm curious to see how they'll respond to a championship game against either Harvard or Cornell, who have been through that before. One of the interesting stats on Princeton is they score more goals than anyone else in the league, but they allow just the second fewest shots against. So it's a puck possession game and defending by playing offense, so to speak. So they'll have a good weekend. I think one of the things that troubles me, and this got to be less of a problem in the second half, but teams did kind of find a way around it kind of through the middle part of the season with shutting down their top line. And ECAC hockey teams traditionally are so good defensively that they can take a player out of a game. I mean, you saw Harvard do it with Nathan Gerby in the Beanpot Final. You saw Colgate do it last week against several Clarkson players. And, you know, you've seen Cornell do it against JT Wyman in their first-round series. So they're going to have to get alternate scoring, but I think they'll beat Colgate. I don't think they'll beat Harvard. If I had to project a bracket, that's how I would say it. Harvard and Princeton win. Harvard beats Princeton.
And Harvard's a pretty good club.
Man, they had a lot of jam in that Beanpot final, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I like what I saw, and it seemed like they kind of followed up. You know, even though they lost to BC in that Beanpot game, and I was the rookie, you were there, you saw the whole thing. Seemed like they really, you know, even though they lost, they really took a lot away from it and used it to build on for the rest of the year. They were fun to watch in that Beanpot game.
Yeah, oh, that was a great game to watch. I'm sure you still have that as the game of the year.
Yes, the best game I've seen all year. Granted, I haven't seen a ton of games. But.
Well, that was it was great. And I'm not sure if Harvard had anything to do with it. But, you know, they completely took away Gerby. And I think Gerby scored something like 4 or 5 points against Harvard with 4 goals earlier this season. So
I think it was seven,
November,
actually.
PC scored 7. I think Gerby had 5 points.
Did he?
Yeah.
I thought he had a huge... Yeah, you're probably right.
Once that happened and once they took away Gerby, that's when other teams started taking away Gerby and teams have been consistently shadowing him. So, you know, Harvard, and I hate using the word, but it's coming to mind right now, that Harvard basically laid the blueprint on how to stop BC. And even though they didn't really stop him in that game, but, you know, they took away Gerby and that's obviously the key to their BC's opponent's successes.
They were also one of the first ones to kind of expose Muse also.
Yeah, you're right.
High glove.
High glove side. And, you know, Muse hasn't really done... He's really good at times, and he's really bad at times. You know, Jerry York was saying, I think yesterday, that he's been really happy with Muse and how much better he's gotten. He even admitted that they were worried about their goaltending situation earlier this season. You know, he was a very, very highly regarded goalie coming into the college game. So eventually he's going to be a really solid goalie, you know, one would believe. But he's definitely had his ups and downs this season. He's played, you've got to give it to him, though. He's played every single minute for BC this season. There's been no other goalie in between the pipes for BC, so... You got to give it to him in that regard.
Absolutely. Workhorse reliability. Okay. Let's get back to Albany. I'm going to put some people on notice. One of those satire shows does that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here goes. If you are in the work area at the hockey game, and there are televisions in the work area showing hockey, do not turn it to freaking basketball. If you want to watch basketball, take the day off and watch basketball. We watch hockey at hockey events.
Hear, hear.
That is all. You are on notice.
I would
Albany
agree.
TV station guys.
And let me say that there's nothing wrong with March Madness. There's nothing wrong with the basketball tournament.
It has its place, and its place is not in the hockey rink.
Exactly.
It's not in the hockey. Exactly.
I think that's what we're saying is right there.
You know, you get that.
I don't come to your house.
Have its place. That Thursday at 1 o'clock or 12:30, whatever it is, that's great.
A lot of people get sick
at
7 o'clock on that third Thursday in March. A lot of people.
7 o'clock. I'm going to be watching the Gophers in St. Cloud.
Exactly.
Same here. But at 12:30, I'll be watching Michigan State and Temple. Is that who they play?
Temple, yes.
On my computer at work.
Been watching in my television at work.
No.
While we are in the InsideCollegeHockey.com chat,
who else is
ESPN.com?
Who else is on notice?
Eastern. Who else is on notice?
Is that it?
Yeah. Don't turn the hockey games off. If there's no hockey games on, then by all means, watch your little bouncy basketball.
I'm going to guess that the people who do that probably don't listen to this podcast. So you might have to put on person.
Maybe I'll make an announcement at the awards banquet on Thursday night.
There you go.
Just step up.
That'll go over well.
Do TV people even do anything for the other 3.5 hours of the day, or do they just, you know, do they just sit in the closet and, you know, wait for 5:30?
Well, yeah, they watch basketball for the other 23.5 hours a day and fill out 30 different brackets so they could say, oh, look at it, I got all the Final Four right. Oh, yeah? Nice. Watch
local
out for the St. Joseph's University Hawks.
Local
watch
TV
out.
Sports is the biggest racket.
Yes.
If you want to get paid well and not work, well, once you get to the major markets, paid well and not work very hard. There's your answer.
Good gig.
Yeah?
Good gig.
But you have to wear makeup.
Yeah.
A lot of it. If you're working, if you're on TV in Boston, you wear a lot of makeup. Which is pretty funny.
I hear even.
Do you have
a
favorite
not?
Boston sports television personality, Roof?
Jerry Remy.
I do, Gladdy. If I'm picking up what you're putting down, I do. But,
I know Gladdy does.
I think you're picking it up.
Chicken, chicken, yeah!
Exactly.
Who is it?
Is she invited to Denver?
Let's hope so.
She's invited, whether she attends or not. Is.
Yeah. Can you forward her an invitation to this person?
We will give it the honest try.
No, I meant
when
you forward her
an invitation.
When you
wait outside of her place every morning, you know, just kind of invite it to her. Okay. Back to the Hobie and Boston television personalities. Nathan Gerby certainly was last Saturday after scoring a fantastic penalty shot goal. The haters came out and said it broke the rules. It clearly did not. No rule was even close to being broken. And it was a good goal.
Oh, yeah, it was a great goal.
Is that his Hobie moment that he needed since the beanpot and since the kind of poor month of February?
If he wants to win this thing, BC's got to win this weekend, and he's gonna score at least, you know, a couple goals each night. I mean, he's got to be a monster for this team. If he wants to win it, I mean, he's got to be in the mix, obviously, naturally. But, you know, just getting back to that goal, I mean, I got that forwarded to me from the BC SID after that game. And I went home and I checked my email on Saturday night after a solid time at the Hard Rock in Boston. And, you know, the first time I watched it, I was like, okay, well, you know, that's kind of cool. But when they showed the replay, and, you know, the second time, and then you watch it again and again and again, I mean, you just kind of get a little more appreciation for it the more times you watch it. And, you know, more than anything, he played Ryan Simpson for a fool. I mean, Ryan Simpson just got completely undressed out there. I mean, just watching what he completely stole Ryan Simpson's dignity when he scored on him like that. And
he drank his milkshake, I think.
The other thing about that goal was the fact that, you know, and it was a great point that, you know, Gladdy brought up. I think Ryan Shannon got the first ever assist on a penalty shot goal
exactly.
In hockey history.
Don't give Gladdy credit for that.
Who said it?
Well, that was me.
Was that you?
I got to stick up for myself if once.
Yeah, I would
say. Well, I didn't say that line about the assist on a penalty shot goal.
Oh, no. I came up with that.
No, you came
up
with that.
The Ryan Shannon thing.
I sent
you
that
the one thing
when you sent it on Saturday night, though.
It was very Shannon-esque, yes.
When
he pulled it off in the American League and in the National League at least twice. Once with the Ducks and once with the Canucks.
Yeah, in fact,
right.
The last time
and,
he did.
And Nikolai Habibulin punched him in the head for it.
That's right. I was just going to say that.
Yeah, that was one of Vancouver's few shootout wins this season.
Well, what
every
is
other
great
game they've had is against freaking Edmonton.
Well, building on the Nikolai Habibulin thing, you know, what would have been great is if Gerby pulled that off against someone like Ben Bishop, and Ben Bishop got up and tried to punch Gerby in the head. Because there's about 3 feet in size, you know, advantage there.
Yeah, he just swung and missed.
You know, tying this into the Hobie discussion that we had earlier, and I think, you know, Michigan's Kevin Porter is obviously the front runner, and he's had a great year. There's no question about it. And I think part of what makes him such a strong candidate is not just his numbers, but the fact that he plays in all situations. And that team is so loaded with underclassmen, and there's only two or three seniors on the whole roster. You know, just to be in that leadership position and lead that team to the kind of season that they've had is really remarkable. But that said, I think that the player that in college hockey that every time he's on the ice puts you on the edge of your seat, it's Gerby.
100%, yes.
Like, not even close. Not even close.
He's fun to watch. I mean, the one phrase that I use about him more than any, I think, is the game changer, and he really is. He's the only guy in the league, you know, as far as I can see, that requires somebody to shadow him or some sort of double team. And, you know, when I did that piece about him a few weeks ago about his Hobie candidacy, I mean, I had a lot of guys talking about him on the record, and every single one of them said that if you don't know when Garby's on the ice or where he is at all times, then he's going to score on you. And I think the best thing that Ben Smith told me was that even his own teammates say that. If you don't know where Garby is on the ice, then you're going to miss a chance when he could score and when he could set you up. So he's and the other thing, just to get back to that other goal, I think it put BC up 4-0, if I'm not mistaken. So it wasn't like that was a game-changing goal. It just kind of poured it on, I think, in the first period there against Providence in a game that turned out to be a rout. But, you know, he's as fun to watch as anybody. But it's so hard to discount what, you know, the fact that whether or not he's playing well or if it's just because his other team's paying so much attention to him. The fact that he's only got 3 points and 11 losses this season it's so hard to, you know, not think about that when you're voting for, you know, the Hobie.
I wonder if Hobie voters will look harder for other candidates because Porter is such a runaway favorite. Are they going to look for reasons not to vote for the guy who deserves the award the most? I would hope not.
I think as the season's gone on, that's happened to Garby a bit. And, you know, maybe it's because I cover the league, you know, so correct me if I'm wrong. But as I think going into the season, you knew that he was going to be a lock for a Hobie candidate, you know, providing he stayed healthy and BC had success. So I think people looked to find things that, you know, you could say wrong with Garby. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not.
I would 100% agree with that. I think that, you know, that's where we get, you know, get people questioning, you know, taking misconduct penalties and getting the suspension and the crazy rumors about, you know, how well he does in the classroom. I think that's a legitimate claim, and you know, I think part of it is just because, you know, he plays for Boston College also. I mean, you know, in that part of the world, you're either for him or against him. There's no, you know, there's no ambivalence toward Boston College. So, you know, it's kind of like the NFL draft in a way. You know, you get to a point where people start looking for things for flaws. After a certain point of time, it's a lot of diminishing returns.
I think that's a really good comparison. The NFL draft. I wonder who will have a better professional career, Nate Garby or Matt Ryan. My money's on Garby.
Mine is too. So is Glenn Foley's.
All right, we're not talking about Boston College football on the Inch podcast. You were on notice for that. deterioration?
Is that just because they won this Champ Sports Bowl?
deterioration is the next topic on the rundown.
Didn't BC win the Champs Sports Bowl?
Yeah, they did. They beat a team with 6 or 7 wins. If you're putting down what I'm picking up, whatever that looks at.
What do you get for playing in the what do you get for playing in the Champs Sports Bowl?
3 extra weeks of practice legally?
Oh, I don't know.
You get a $30 gift certificate to Champs Sports.
I was going
to
say,
those guys actually got hooked up with unbelievable swag. They got a $500. I think like every guy got a $500 gift card to like Best Buy or something.
That's just not fair.
Really?
Yeah, it's fair.
I was going to say they get a shopping spree. Champ Sports, but Florida State guys probably already cleared it out.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. You know what? You know what would be an interesting place where you might think you'd be able to pick up a Champ Sports Bowl t-shirt? Champ Sports. But you can't. I tried. Can't do it.
I saw him.
Well, and you're part of the...
No, I was at the Mall of America. This is over Christmas.
That's still...
The staff was wearing them.
Yeah, well, they didn't have them in Syracuse, New York.
It is Big Ten country.
So, okay.
I don't know that we have deterioration. I'm deterioration free.
While you're there for Detroit, Michigan, CCHA weekend, Nate, suggestion.
Get yourself a Hario.
Get yourself a Hario.
At the Anchor Bar, which is not as really bad what as it sounds. Like. It's a lot better than it sounds. It's a grilled cheese with bacon.
Grilled cheese with bacon and great, lots of bacon. Great Cheetos.
And put on the side of the highway.
And Labatt Blue on draft.
Yes.
At the Anchor Bar.
My suggestion, if you're in Detroit, is to duck.
Get down.
Exactly. Don't cross 8 Mile.
While you're there in St. Paul, Minnesota, Mike Idlebus.
While you're there in St. Paul, Minnesota, I would, I'm going to go
bring earplugs.
Well, there's that. I would also go from experience and say, if you're looking for something to do Thursday night after after the St. Cloud, Minnesota game, head on up to up the hill toward the University of St. Thomas and stop in a little bar called Plums that I used to frequent when I was an undergrad at St. Thomas, where you get a packed house of college folk and all you can drink. Tap beer for $7-$8, I think it is. A fairly good deal.
I think I had a good time there once.
It was a fairly good deal back in the day.
Yeah, it was a good deal.
Where else we have?
Call.
Boston?
Rook, how, while you're there at the Hockey East Championships this weekend?
Oof. Well, I know I will be at the Fours. Or whiskeys, or the
you mean
Fours.
And not or.
Aren't you covering the event?
Oh,
from across the street.
Well, the Fours is right across the street, so.
Well,
if Vermont scores early, then I'll write the rest of the game story based on that. Boston should be a decent time. Boston's always good. If you can't find something to do in Boston, then, you know, we're not going to be much help to you.
If you have some time to kill,
complain loud enough, you can go to Japan.
Hey, if you're looking for a good steak, you can go to Abe and Louie's.
You know, the other thing you could do if you have some time to kill is look for LED lights of little cartoon characters and think they're bombs.
Yeah, or you could, drive about 25 minutes north to Lowell and, you know, just steal everything out of everybody's cars. And, you know, because, you know, that seems to be the thing to do nowadays.
Oh, really?
Breaking into cars in peaceful Lowell neighborhoods.
Stealing the metal. Did they steal your catalytic converter?
Oh, they didn't touch my car. They knew better.
That's right.
It was everybody else's car on the street that they hit.
Rook put them on notice.
They did.
It is.
I put them on notice in the last podcast.
Speaking of the last podcast, we are still seeking our second member of the Brooks Like Fan Club. Membership drive continues. So,
do you get a tote bag?
You get things. You get Brooks Like things for being in the Brooks Like Fan Club.
Brooks-like things are going to happen.
Hey, did you catch Brooks' quote this week?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Someone told Brooks Like long ago, if you want money, you go to the bank. If you want bread, you go to the bakery. If you want goals, you go to the net. So there you go.
Who told him that?
John Cherry. Oh. Listen up, kids.
I thought you were going to say Chuck.
All you kids out there.
Chuck Norris.
Out in Milwaukee, Saskatchewan. I want to let you know. But,
here's some
anyway.
Good, I guess I do have one.
Well, let me finish our move here with a while you're there for Albany, New York.
Oh, yeah.
No surprise to Inch followers that the Bayou Cafe continues to be the number one choice for pre- and post-game revelry. It's got everything you can want. If you want band, it's got a band. If you want some pool tables and some tables and just sit and talk, it's got that. If you want a bar, it's got that. Stand and mingle and get some TVs going. It works.
Basketball?
Probably has basketball on the TVs,
All right.
If you find that girl that was dressed as a librarian at Halloween a couple years ago, invite her to Denver.
I will do that. I will do that.
I don't even know that story. But I can pretty much make it up in my
mind. That's about it.
Yeah. Ah, we were there for a wedding, yeah.
Yeah.
Halloween weekend. Unfortunately, it was not my wedding to her.
The librarian costume.
That's always a classic.
Yeah. How?
That never gets old.
No. Yeah, we've got a few invitations out for Denver.
Yeah.
Those people, some have been contacted. Some have been contacted and accepted, tentatively.
Oh, good deal. Good deal.
Some have not been contacted.
But they will be.
But they will be.
Plus, you had deterioration, you said?
Yeah. I was at the grocery store tonight.
Meyer?
No. Oh. Crozet.
Crozet?
And waiting for a prescription to be filled. Let's just put it that way. So I had to stand around about 10 minutes. So I go to the magazine aisle, and they had nothing about hockey. So, and for some reason, they had Athlon Golf. I mean, how? Couldn't you just put a sheet of paper up there and just write golf? Tiger Woods wins everything, and you know. Anyways,
you could. You don't sell a lot of advertising that way.
No, yeah. So I grabbed GQ because I needed something to read for 10 minutes.
I'm sorry, but I would love to see you reading GQ.
I was reading it. There was an article in there about something that I was intrigued by. Anyway, wait a second. I'm
Rook.
Just because I eschew pants without a drawstring.
You don't have to answer yourself.
No. Okay, so I grabbed the GQ and I'm leafing through it. What page do you think the first page of copy, what number do you think was on that page in GQ magazine? It's a big, thick magazine, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it is.
I mean, it's like three Sports Illustrateds, at least. Maybe four.
I'll go with 18.
What page?
I'm going...
The table of contents was the first page of copy. What page was it on in the magazine?
I'm going 33.
I'll go with Brooks Likes 21.
80 mother effin' 8 was the first page a copy.
On an even side, too?
GQ magazine. 88. Everything before that, ads.
Yo.
That's like tuning into an hour TV show, and like they
show the A block is
22 minutes of commercials. Waiting for it to start. 88. I didn't look at... I should have looked at the last page to see how many actual pages there were in the thing. But, yeah, 88. First page of copy.
Well, we'll have to send you back to the grocery to read some more.
I'm not going to read. I was looking for fashion tips.
I know a certain local
newspaper around... my location that needs to be introduced to their ad reps. Let's just put it that way. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Last magazine you purchased, Rook, or read in the grocery store?
Oh, boy.
Highlights?
Can't knock Highlights.
Elmo's World.
I love Goofus and Gallant just as much as the next guy.
I think it was Sports Illustrated for Kids.
Oh, there you go.
And it was 10 days ago.
Tom Brady was on the cover.
Probably. Was it Sports Illustrated for His Kids?
It had a picture of two women, and it said, "Which one is mommy?"
All right, we're not talking about Sean Kemp. It's just Tom Brady.
I'm going to have to admit I'm a little sour on Tom Brady. He's kind of turning into a robot.
I will say this.
I'm just saying.
He needs to chill out with wearing the designer jeans around the locker room when the rest of his teammates are wearing, you know, sweatpants and shorts. It's a little much when his hair is combed a little too nicely and he's wearing his $2,000 Italian jeans that Giselle probably just gave him.
Yeah. He does need to chill out with that.
It's always a woman. It's all.
Well, as much as we've panned it, anybody with some major basketball picks, projections? Rook, how?
Do you want to go upset? Tar Heels?
We're going with the Tar Heels.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that Tyler Hansbrough would be a great hockey player.
I was just going to say the same thing.
High he slot. Works.
He's Cam Neely.
He works. He battles. If basketball had corners, he'd be in them.
He often just runs around the court.
If basketball had corners, I might watch.
Exactly.
North Carolina is your pick, obviously.
Yeah, I'm a little biased, but I'm definitely going with Carolina.
I hate North Carolina, but I like Hansbrough.
I like him.
He's a mess.
Kevin Love is Hansbrough Jr.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more polished, I think. Again, limited viewing of the five college basketball games I saw this year. Maybe six.
Any of them NIT games?
I attended four, no? Well, yeah, preseason NIT.
You went to four basketball games this year? Wow.
Yeah, I saw one in UNLV, three in Syracuse.
That's three more than I saw.
And of the three Syracuse games, out of the four games I went to, I saw an NCAA tournament team playing all of them, and none of them were Syracuse.
So you obviously missed the, UMass beating Syracuse earlier this season, because UMass isn't an NCAA tournament team.
No, I didn't see that game. I saw St. Joseph's, Siena, and some Big East team.
Villanova?
No. Yes. No, it wasn't that game. I watched that. I saw that. It was late that weekend.
West Virginia?
Can't recall. You know what? Maybe I didn't go to that last game.
Well, it must have been a good one.
Yeah. Well, it was basketball. Let's just say it wasn't as good as the Beanpot Final. Oh, you know what? It wasn't an NCAA team. It was Seton Hall. But I did see UNLV early. That was great.
Who did they play?
Played Nevada Reno. Big rivalry game.
Oh.
Yeah.
At the Thomas and Mack Center?
Yep.
Nice.
You want to, for all you hockey fans who may be stuck watching this basketball, you want a player to cheer for. I got to look up his name.
Because we exhausted our list of two.
Oh, I got it! I got it! UNLV, Rene Rougeau. Kind of six man type. He goes in the corners.
Yeah,
he does the little things to help your team win. So Rene Rougeau for UNLV.
Gladdy, I think you need to help me out with this one, but I think we need to give a stick salute to Jeff Howe, who plays in upstate New York somewhere.
Geneseo. Alcuniak selection, yes.
That's a ball player.
Is that basketball?
Yeah. Oh.
Keep seeing Mike Green from Butler and think he's leading all defensemen in goals.
Who ended up in that D.C. regional, Nate? Do you have any idea?
No.
Not Michigan State.
No idea. That was the one thing I checked.
I looked at the bracket not that long ago. I know that West Virginia's there. For some reason, that stuck in my mind. West Virginia and Arizona, that's why I knew that.
I'll also offer the, while you're there, if you're going to Easter brunch with family, just make sure it's done by 11:30 so you can watch the selection show.
That's right.
Good idea.
And then join us throughout the day as we update constantly.
Yeah, and we will have a Selection Sunday podcast, as always.
Yes, we will. I'm not a big
fan. We're usually at our sharpest at the end of that day.
Yeah.
My family has wisely decided to clear out for about 5 days.
Beauty.
Just leaving.
Beauty.
Easter is an overrated holiday, by the way. I'm just saying.
Are you trying to start a holy war here?
No, I
don't say that.
It's no knock on the events of the day. I'm just saying we don't get any days off from work for it. Not like, you know, Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is pretty straight religion.
You get to eat an okay meal, not a great meal.
Not real.
What's that?
It's not great.
Yeah,
you're right.
It's okay. I mean, it's not Thanksgiving. That's the...
But what is?
Well, I know. But, you know, even Christmas, even 4th of July, you get to have a cookout. So I'm
better summer holiday, Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Memorial Day because it's lacrosse weekend.
I say Labor Day because it's football weekend.
Nate, I know you got to go with me in the Labor Day argument.
Yes, Labor Day.
You had the Memorial Day argument, Rook.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
You said Memorial Day because it's lacrosse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Memorial Day is which is up in Foxborough this year, Gillette Stadium, the lacrosse championships.
Yes, it is.
I know one person in this podcast who will definitely be there.
Who's that?
I know that Johns Hopkins lost last Saturday.
They did.
Yes, they did.
Is that good?
Hell yeah.
Why?
That's because Johns Hopkins no longer has Kyle Harrison, who is the filthiest lacrosse player I've ever seen in my entire life.
See, that's why we call you Rook, because you're a child and you never saw Casey Powell play.
I'm not going to say what I want to say about the Powell family.
I didn't say anything about the Powell family. I said something about Casey Powell, who was the nastiest lacrosse player I've ever seen.
How many national championships did he win?
I don't care.
If Christian Cook shuts him down, doesn't that make Christian Cook the nastiest player?
No. Makes him trained in sliding. That was a scheme thing, too, not a one-on-one thing.
That was pretty one-on-one.
No. Whatever.
There's no better second-place team in the history of college lacrosse than the 2006 Minutemen.
I went to Princeton. We don't know what second place is like.
You know what? When you go to a state school, you have to learn to love second place.
That's outstanding.
Did you actually say that in your acceptance letter?
It says that on his diploma.
Where did you go before UMass, Rook? Oh, right.
I did a New England tour, you know. I just wanted to see what the state had going.
Well, second place felt like it. Many different places.
Hey, you know, the 2 years I was at UNH were the only 2 years they ever won hockey's championship.
Wow.
Ever?
Ever.
Really?
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. So you're the playoff championship?
Yeah, the postseason championship.
Oh. Okay.
You giving the pep talk Friday?
That's what we're here for, guys, to win.
What happens if they play Vermont in the championship? They both get second place?
State school stereotypes shattered.
Oh.
Alliteration in our headline.
This awkward silence must mean we're done.
I think we're done.
I'm just going to take a stab.
Good guess.
This is the longest podcast in the history of Inch that has never had any mention of War Road, Minnesota, by the way.
Well, now it has.
There you go.
I'll have to take that out in post-production.
Absolutely. And we will leave the Inch podcast on that. We'll be back on Sunday with a Selection Sunday podcast, talk about the completed conference tournaments and the NCAA tournament. Good luck to all the participants in the Paul Revere's tournament pool. And follow InsideCollegeHockey.com all weekend for complete tournament coverage from all the sites.